So we'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and it was filled with compassion and mercy, whereas such a personality as Srinivas Acharya Gan, where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami, where is Sanatan, where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where did Krishnas Kaviraj, where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So as I mentioned, today is the combined commemoration of the disappearance day or days of three great personalities, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. So we're going to try to cover at least one or two. So, Omagada Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chokchura Meditam Yena Tesmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, just a little bit of his early history, and I want to speak more about his pastimes in Vrindavan, especially in Radhakunda. So Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a very wealthy family, extremely wealthy, Majumdar family, and father Lanko Haranya in Govardhan. And he got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, father and uncle weren't actually devotees, but we'll describe what type of devotees they were. He got the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he really wanted to escape and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, in his pastimes, he showed that unless one has the mercy of Lord Nityananda, someone cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, there is a whole progressive path which is recommended by our acharyas. First of all, you approach Lord Nityananda through the spiritual master to get free of anarthas. And then, after you approach Lord Nityananda through the spiritual master, then you can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform. And then, and only then, can you approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to learn about the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, in Raghunath Das's pastimes, he showed the necessity of approaching Lord Nityananda. So what happened is that he got the opportunity to serve Lord Nityananda in Panihati. And I think most people are familiar with that since we have the Panihati festival every year. Panihati is a place where Raghunath Das enacted the chip rice pastimes, in which he fed Lord Nityananda and his associates with different types of chip rice and condensed milk and in yogurt. And he pleased Lord Nityananda, and he also gave donations to all the Vaishnavas as well as Lord Nityananda. And by that pleasing of Lord Nityananda, he got the ability later on to escape from home by a trip. His spiritual master, Yadananda Acharya, came to Raghunath Das, and he said, one of my disciples is not doing his deity worship. He hasn't woken up to take care of Radha Gopinanda. I added that. And Raghunath Das said, I'll take care of it, don't worry. So instead of taking care of it, actually the spiritual master was in on this whole trip. It's not that he disobeyed the order of the guru. He ran away from home and went through the less traveled area in the forest and finally arrived in Jagannath Puri. And arriving in Jagannath Puri, he got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. And getting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, he took the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meal for about 3 days. And then he stopped eating that because he wanted to enact his pastime of extreme renunciation. So you see the contrast here from someone who is, not just someone who's eternally liberated, which is Siddha devotee, from someone who was, let's say, an extremely opulent position with a, you know, beautiful wife and everything anyone could ask for, to extreme renunciation, showing that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and taking to Krishna consciousness, the Lord Nityananda's mercy, one can basically consider this whole material world to be basically useless, except insofar as it is utilized to serve Krishna. So then, after giving up that eating Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's remnants, he started begging in the Singhadwara gate, and Lord Chaitanya was pleased with that, and after that, he started to eat from the soup kitchen, I guess, the kitchen that they used to distribute food from for the pilgrims or the peasants. And the reason he did that, the reason he gave up begging, because when you're begging for yourself, you sort of tend to think unequally about people. You know, you think, oh, he's nice, he's not so nice. So he wanted to give up this particular, because he didn't have that mentality, but he was afraid of Maya, unlike ourselves. And so he was thinking, I don't want to get into that mentality of discriminating between who is giving, who is not giving. So let me just go to the soup kitchen. And after that, he became even more renounced. And when he became more renounced, he was just eating the rice that was thrown away, that even the cows from Talinga wouldn't eat because it was actually a little rotted. And so he was taking that rice, washing it in a little water, putting a little salt. He did use salt, at least. And he ate that rice. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Raghunath Das's austerities that Raghunath one day saw Lord Chaitanya there taking prasadam. Lord Chaitanya grabbed the rice once, twice, and then and then Sarup Damodar Goswami said, no, that's it. And Lord Chaitanya said, why are you keeping all this nice food for yourself? So that's really the point about prasadam. Prasadam is the mercy of Krishna. Oftentimes we think that Mahaprasadam means something that's sweet, something that's delectable. And that's perhaps not the right consciousness. We should be thinking that any type of prasadam, whether it is sweet, whether it is sour, is actually relishable. Like Śrīla Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakura would sometimes mix all the different types of prasadam together, and he would eat that, or give that to his disciples to eat. In this way, he was teaching them the real value of prasadam. I mean, even one tulsi leaf has so much power. And it's also not the quantity that you eat. It's the prasadam itself and the quality of your consciousness that determines how much spiritual advancement you're going to make. So, anyway, so then he spent practically years with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, he witnessed more of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri than any of the other Goswamis. Finally, at the passing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Vrindavan to join the other Goswamis, and when he went to Vrindavan, he was thinking of killing himself by jumping off of Govardhan Hill. And the other Goswamis thought, no, he cannot be allowed to do that, and they, I wouldn't say they made a trick, but they really wanted to hear about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then they told Raghunath Das that every day you should recite these pastimes to us because you have witnessed more of the pastimes than we have. So, on that note, we're going to start speaking about his pastimes in Braj. So, some of the quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Adi Leela: he rendered confidential service to the Lord for 16 years at Jagannath Puri. And after the disappearance of both the Lord and Swarup Damodar, he left Jagannath Puri and went to Vrindavan. So we know he used to reside on the bank of the Radhakund. And the Radhakund was just like a really small pond at that point. And he would meditate on enlarging the kund, so that he understood that in the future so many pilgrims would come to take darshan of Radhakund and take a little snan from Radhakund. But he would think in his mind, actually being very humble, I'm a rascal because I'm thinking of collecting a lot of money. It's great humility. So a devotee, if a devotee thinks of collecting a lot of money for Krishna's service, it's not rascaldom, it's actually good. However, if one thinks of collecting a lot of money and it's not practical and he just meditates on collecting a lot of money, that may fall under the guise of collecting too much or over-endeavoring. So one has to be very careful. It's a balance there. One shouldn't think that I'm going to construct a temple worth $20 million in Hillsborough and everything will be nice. I mean, that may cause difficulty in someone's spiritual life. So anyways, around this time he was thinking of enlarging Radhakund and he was thinking of needing money. There was a very wealthy merchant named Seth who was doing great austerity and he was walking barefoot to Bhadarika Ashram in the Himalayas. And there he worshipped Sri Bhadarayana and offered a lot of money at the deity's feet. But that night he had a dream in which the deity instructed him, you should go to Braj and present all this money to Radhanath Das Goswami. And Radhanath Das Goswami was residing in Aristogramma or Avitagramma, as they say. That means the village of the Aristashura. It's interesting. Krishna said to this merchant, if he doesn't want to accept it, if he declines to accept it, tell him that I ordered it. Mention my name. Name dropping. And tell him that this is for renovating Radhakund and Shyamakund. So this person, Seth, was very happy, returned to his home, and he went to Braj. And then he saw Raghunath Das Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami immediately gave his consent. And this particular person, he actually supervised the work of redigging the two kunds. And of course we know the Radhakunds, the five Pandavas are living, or were living, because the trees have actually gone away right now. And the beam tree is still there, but the beam tree has actually left his body. So that's the only remaining tree that you can see right now. And so the five Pandavas were residing there as trees on the banks of the Shyamakund. And Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream as they were excavating, please don't cut us down. So he excavated or arranged to excavate the Shyamakunda in a very unusual shape. And that's why Shyamakunda's unusual shape. So that's also another point is that Raghunath Das Goswami, even though he was doing all these different things and supervising the excavation of Radhakund, he didn't want to put anything in his name, which is interesting because he was very fearful of becoming entangled in this material world, coming from a very wealthy family. Of course, there was no question of him becoming entangled because he's a great Nityasiddha devotee. So then, instead of that, so he put everything in Jiva Goswami's name, and you can actually see these original documents today. I forget where they are, maybe in the Vrindavan Institute or something, and it is signed in Jiva Goswami's signature. So anyway, so many stories about his sojourn in Radhakund. One story is while he was chanting on the banks of the Shyamakund, and it's called the Manasa Pavana Ghat. And the Manasa Pavana Ghat is a very wonderful place where Raghunath Das Goswami resided. He had his Bhajan Kutir and also Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. And later on, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur resided in this one particular place. And it's also a place where there's a pilu tree where the pilu tree, of course, is a Brahmin from Kashi who wanted to see Krishna's pastimes, so he appeared there over 5,000 years ago, and the gopis used to rest their clothes on and while they were bathing in the Shamakund. So anyway, so Raghunath Das Goswami did not have a bhajan kutir in the beginning, so he would just sit on the banks of the Shamakund. And the problem was, there are actually several problems. One is, it was very hot during the summer, and so he didn't even take any sort of endeavor to shield his head. So Srimati Radharani, at least once, took her cloth and was shielding the head of Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami happened to see that and got really angry at Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, "You can't take service of Srimati Radharani. We're supposed to serve Srimati Radharani." Actually, before that, he got chastised by Sanatana Goswami for taking service from Krishna, because there was a tiger that was getting ready to attack him, and Krishna had to stand there with a stick to hold off the tiger. And Sanatana Goswami saw that. So twice he got chastised by Sanatana Goswami. Finally, he built himself a little kutir to protect himself from the tiger and from the sun. So, and another interesting story is that once upon a time, Vrajavasi, known his name was Sridas. This is interesting. Sridas Vrajavasi used to bring Raghunath Das Goswami a leaf cup of buttermilk every day. So one day, Sridas Vrajavasi went to Saki Stali, which is known as Chandravali's Kunda, and to herd his cows. And there he got a very large cup from the leaves. And he, in one of these new leaf cups, he brought some buttermilk to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami accepted the leaf cup of buttermilk and inquired, "Where did you get these nice leaves and the buttermilk from?" And Sridasji replied, "While I was pasturing the cows, I came to Saki Stali and found them there." And so simply hearing the word Saki Stali, Raghunath Das got so upset, he flew into a rage and threw the leaf cup of buttermilk on the ground. And here's a quote. He said, "The followers of Srimati Radharani never accepted anything from that place." So Sridasji was amazed to see the dedication and devotion. Because Saki Stali is the place of Chandravali, the so-called competitor to Srimati Radharani. And so, devotees, they definitely don't like to go. Not all devotees. Some devotees I know like to go there. Who should remain nameless to protect the innocent. So, anyway. So then other stories of Raghunath Das Goswami. One day in his meditation, because he was regularly meditating. And one thing I forgot to mention is that when he was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him a Govardhan Chila. And this Govardhan Chila had been bathed by the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also Raghunath Das Goswami was offered what's called Gunja Mala. Gunja Mala is a special seed that comes from the Gunja tree. That's, I guess it's only in Vrindavan. I don't think it grows anywhere else. And it is Srimati Radharani. It actually is a representation of Srimati Radharani. So whenever you worship Giriraj, you have to have Gunja Mala too around Giriraj. Unfortunately, when I went to Australia this time, they took my Gunja Mala away. Because, anyway, it's a seed. They gave me a lot of trouble. They almost arrested me for having a Gunja Mala. Anyway, they almost took my beads away too. Sometimes they're very strict in those countries on with all sorts of anything that's wood or anything that's a seed or any type of food. So when you go there, you have to just like really give everything away. But the beads you can declare, or else you'll get a big fine or maybe go to jail. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So Raghunath Das Goswami had the Govardhan Chila and the Gunja Mala. So one time, Raghunath Das was meditating on offering very nice sweet rice to his deities, to Shishi, Radha, and Krishna, the Govardhan Shilas. And in his meditation, they accepted this offering and relished their prasadam. And Raghunath Das Goswami, feeling so ecstatic in his meditation, honored all this prasadam in great ecstasy. And he ate a little more than he was his custom in his meditation. So that afternoon, it came time for Raghunath Das Goswami to speak about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. The devotees saw that the door to his kutir was closed, and they said, "What's happening? What's happening?" And Raghunath Das Goswami replied, "I'm not feeling well. My body's not well." So they called for a kaviraj, means a doctor. And the doctor came and checked his pulse, because by checking the pulse, you can tell what someone is suffering from. And the doctor said, "He's eaten too much rice and milk, and his body is very heavy." So obviously, they'd all been in meditation. Everyone was struck with wonder because he was subsisting just drinking buttermilk every day. And the whole idea that he would fall sick from eating too much sweet rice was inconsistent. You know, so they didn't know what was happening, but they understood it was in meditation. So for most of his life, he performed bhajan in Radhakund, and we can visit his bhajan kutir today, or I will be visiting in about 10 days, the bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami. Described that he became very skinny and weak health and reduced his sleeping until he was almost not sleeping at all. His eyes were always full of tears. And when Srinivasacharya went to see Raghunath Das Goswami, the Goswami blessed him by embracing him. And he got the blessings from Raghunath Das Goswami to preach in Bengal. In the Gauranga Dipika, there's a book by Kavi Karnapur that tells about the ontological position of all these great devotees. It's described that formerly he was a gopi named Rasa Manjari. Others may say that he was Rati Manjari, while other opinions say that he was Banumati. Anyway, he was a Manjari gopi. So this Govardhan Shila is still being worshipped in the Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan. And as far as the books he compiled, Stavamali, Dhanacharita, Muktacharita, and many, many other books. He appeared in this world in 14... Well, actually, it says Shakabda. I can't figure out the difference between Shakabda. Anyway.
78 years extra for AD.
Yeah, 78. That's how you figure it out? Okay.
Yeah. I just read it in Prabhupada's books the other day. It said, add 78.
1478, what?
You see Shakabda date, add 78 years, you get the AD.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And your prophet.
Okay. That's at 1506. 1506, and then he disappeared in 1416. Anyway,
80.
Wait, this says probably. He didn't disappear in 1460. He disappeared in 1504, so 78, 82, you know, anyway, 1582, on the 12th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Ashvin, which is today. So that's Raghunath Das Goswami. So it's 78.
78, yeah.
That's interesting. Prabhupada says that's how you convert it. Okay, that's very good. Okay, so right, that's Raghunath Das Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today. Then we talk about Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, of course, the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, we can read some of this, it's very nice. So what happened is that he was living at home with his family, who were devotees, but they had at least his brother had a little bit of a problem. So I'll read this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu had a servant named Sri Meenakaitana Ramdas, who was a reservoir of love. At my house there was Sankirtan day and night. This is Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami speaking. And therefore he visited there having been invited. Absorbed in emotional love, he sat in my courtyard and all the Vaishnavas bowed down at his feet. In a joyful mood of love of God, he sometimes climbed upon the shoulder of someone offering obeisances, and sometimes he struck others with his flute or mildly slapped them. When someone saw the eyes of Meenakaitana around us, tears would automatically flow from his own eyes, for a constant shower of tears flowed from the eyes of Meenakaitana Ramdas. Sometimes there were eruptions of ecstasy like kadamba flowers in some parts of his body, and sometimes one limb would be stunned while another would be trembling. Whenever he shouted aloud the name Nityananda, the people around him were filled with great wonder and astonishment. One respectable brahmana named Sri Gunanava Mishra was serving the deity. When Meenakaitana was seated in the yard, this brahmana did not offer him respect. Seeing this, Sri Ramdas became angry and spoke. Here I find the second Ramaharshana Sutta who did not stand to show honor when he saw Lord Balaram. After saying this, he danced and sang to his heart content, but the brahmana did not become angry, for he was then serving the Lord. At the end of the festival, Meenakaitana Ramdas went away, offering his blessings to everyone. At that time, he had some controversy with my brother, that is the brother of Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. My brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ramdas felt unhappy in his mind, and then I rebuked my brother. These two brothers, I told him, are like one body. They're identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like the logic of accepting half a hen. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other. Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away, and at that time my brother fell down. That night, because he was pleased with the chastisement that Krishnadas gave his brother, that Ramdas, for offending his dear devotee, That night, because he was pleased with the chastisement that Krishnadas gave his brother for offending his dear devotee, Meenakaitana Ramdas, Lord Nityananda appeared in his dreams and declared, my dear Krishnadas, Nukara Loya Vrindavan Yoha, Tanva Sava Laura Hoy. Oh, my dear Krishnas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. So then he started with Vrindavan immediately, and he accepted the Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhagavata Goswami as his instructing spiritual masters. And with Lokanath Goswami and Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he begged permission to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lokanath Goswami told him that he didn't want to be mentioned in the book. That is why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, hardly any reference about Lokanath Goswami is to be found. So he compiled the following books, which we still have: Sri Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Karnamrita Commentary, Atika, and of course the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he was appeared in the Christian era, or AD 1496. And he disappeared. It's not really sure what year he disappeared, but he was quite old. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was basically almost blind and his hands were trembling. And still, at that advanced age, he was able to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is not simply a narration, but it's a poem in very sophisticated Bengali. So it shows the transcendental intelligence of great devotees, that even it's beyond the bodily platform. I mean, most of the time, when someone gets really old, like 70s or 80s or 90s, their mind doesn't work quite as well. And actually, you see that, I don't want to mention, one of the candidates for the United States presidency has these like really senior moments, so people are questioning, should there be a limitation on someone's age to run for president of the United States? And I think there probably should be. So anyway, because these are not transcendental personalities. These are mundane personalities. So anyway, so at advanced age, he was able to write this wonderful literature, and we are eternally grateful to him for giving us the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a nectarian form, and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in such a nectarian form. So finally, we will talk about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapan Mishra, and when the Lord visited East Bengal, he met with Tapan Mishra, and Tapan Mishra, of course, knew Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal. He was actually sent by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to live there in Benares, and of course that Benares is where all the impersonalists are. And therefore in Benares, he gave the association to Tapan Mishra, and at the same time when he gave the association to Tapan Mishra, Tapan Mishra's son, Raghunath Bhatta, took association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described that the Lord took the boy, that is Raghunath Bhatta, on his lap, because he was a little boy at that particular time, and he told him, "You must serve your mother and father here, and by you may come to Jagannath Puri Dham and see me again." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Benares forever and began his long journey by foot to Jagannath Puri. And then within a short time, Raghunath Bhatta became expert in Sanskrit, grammar, rhetoric, and poetry, and very learned in the scriptures. And he served his mother and father into their old age, and finally they passed away, and as they were passing away, he was ordered by his father to go to Puri Dham to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually visited while they were still alive, and then when they passed away, he went and served Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let's see. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the first time while they were still alive, Lord Chaitanya gave him a tulsi garland from his own neck and Mahaprasadam to be distributed to everybody in Benares. And the Lord again instructed him just to stay there until in Benares until his parents passed away. He served his parents carefully. They passed away, and he went to Jagannath Puri, and when the Lord saw him again after a long time, he was very happy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify... He began to glorify the parents of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, which is actually in contrary to the way that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt or spoke about the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami. Lord Chaitanya called the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami worms in stool, because even in spite of being devotees, they simply were interested, not simply, I mean, it's a pastime, I don't want to criticize them, but they were interested in material things too. And so he used that particular comparison, because worms in stool, if you take them out of the stool and give them something nice, they simply jump back into the stool. So, anyway, then he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan to meet Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And he went to Vrindavan, and along the path of the Vrindavan, he would pass by the same path that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took. And when he got to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were very happy to see him. And he stayed with them as their younger god brother. It's described that he was exceptionally blessed with humility and meekness. And he had such a beautiful voice, he would regularly recite the Srimad Bhagavatam before Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And when doing so, he would become overwhelmed with such ecstatic love for Krishna that tears of ecstasy, choking of the voice, of course, these are symptoms of Vyabhachari Bhava, of Sanchari Bhava, and trembling just like overwhelmed him. He couldn't continue to read. In fact, he was so much overwhelmed with symptoms of ecstasy. He said that his voice was as sweet as a cuckoo's, and he would sing the verses in many different tunes or ragas, and it's extremely sweet to hear. He was fully surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He arranged for his disciples to construct a temple for Radha Govinda. So he actually helped Rupa Goswami's temple construction, prepared various ornaments for Radha Govinda. He actually made a flute, shark-shaped earrings for the deities. He would neither hear nor speak about anything material. He would simply discuss Krishna and worship the Lord day and night. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to the talks of a Vaishnava's misbehavior, which is actually really important. I wanted to mention some of that. Sometimes in the name, we find people in the movement, in the name of, let's say, rectifying things or addressing what they consider to be a philosophical deviation, they actually commit offenses against Vaishnavas. I mean, even if they're right, let's say if they're right about someone, let's say making a mistake or not quite understanding how to apply Krishna consciousness, they're wrong because of the way they do it. And you see this. I actually see it quite often. I mean, even, anyway, not going to mention name, but even prominent people do that. And it's a great offense, and people lose attachment for hearing and chanting, and then they just become immersed in fault-finding tendency in spite of having so much knowledge. And of course, a typical example is Ramchandra. Puri. Ramchandra Puri, yeah. So he was obviously a great devotee, but he became immersed in criticism of his guru and others. Raghunath Das Goswami only knew that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. He was absorbed in remembering the Lord. He would take the Tulsi garland and the prasad of Jagannath given to him by Lord Chaitanya, bind them together and wear them continually on his neck. According to the Gauraganadesh Dipika, it states, he was Raga Manjari. He was born, and this is the AD year, 1505, and he passed away from this world in 1579. In other words, 74 years he was in this world. Okay, so that's some information about these three great personalities. So any...
That's it.
Timing.